CQ, 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 the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W4DJW. My name is Dave, and my location is Greer. In the interest of promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesar's Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina border, near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet and is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society. All amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. Is there any formal traffic bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call W4DJW. Okay, nothing heard. We'll now begin the roll call. This is a directed net. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAGCHU portion. Tonight being Saturday night, we'll begin with Alpha through Delta for the RF section, but before we do that, we're going to recognize pre-net check-ins, Echolink stations, and new amateur radio operators. So starting with the pre-net, we have W4FCM, that's Fred and Traveler's Rest, bringing with him in for IEI, that's Miss Isla, and AA4GH, that's Gus, and he is in Punta Gora, Florida, and K4XMR, that's Mel in Prosperity, KG4PFI, that's Don, bringing with him KG4QLQ, that's Miss Linda there in Piedmont, KO4ZEW, that's Ben in Simpsonville, N4JRB, that's Jim in Greer, NC9V, that's Leon in Hendersonville, and KE4DXJ, that's Wendy, also in Hendersonville, KF4LZI, that's Andy in Table Rock, KB2BYQ, that's Dave in Easley, and KC4W, that's Bill in Anderson. And refreshing it one time, and we do have another Echolink station that checked in, or not Echolink, we do have another pre-net check-in that checked in while I was calling net, and that is W4IOE, that is Sid, he's in Fletcher, North Carolina. Be sure to check in with him tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. on 146.64 with a PL tone of 91.5. And that's going to do it for our pre-net check-ins. We do have an Echolink station, so we're going to accept Echolink stations only for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, called W4DJW.
W4DJW, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Yankee Hotel Yankee. That's Jim in Berea. Negative and negative.
Okay, Nick, I'd like to recognize KO4YHY. That's Jim sounding good over Echolink this evening from Berea. Good to have you with tonight, Jim. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Let's see, that's going to bring us to any brand new radio operators that have never checked into a net before and are not quite sure what the protocol is, but would like to check into the net. Just throw your call sign out there and I'll do the rest. W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. All right, looks like we don't have any brand new radio operators this evening, so we're going to move on into the RF section of the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. And on a Saturday night, we begin with Alpha through Delta, stations with the first letter in their suffix that starts with an A through a D, and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, called W4DJW.
W4DJW. Hey, Dave, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena. We're both in Piedmont, and we'll both be negative and negative. Also, via telephone relay, please check in my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar, Quebec, Michelle. She's in Wareshoals, and she'll be negative and negative. 73s to you, and all on the net.
Okay, starting off with the Alpha through Delta group on this Saturday night, we'll begin with KK4DMW, that's Rick. Rick is bringing with him KK4ONO, that's Miss Lorena, and they are in Piedmont, also via telephone relay, KM4MOQ, that's Miss Michelle, and she is in Wareshoals. Rick, tell Lorena and Michelle we said hello, and we do appreciate you guys hanging out with us this evening. Do we have any other stations in the Alpha through Delta group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. Okay, it looks like Rick has that group to himself. That'll bump us up to the Echo through Hotel group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix. It begins with an E through an H, and we'll like check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, called W4DJW.
Bravo,
DJW,
KK4HXB, Earl and Travis Rest, I'll be monitoring.
DJW, Dave and all the net, please check in Kilo Oscar 4 Hotel Kilo X-ray, KO4HKX. It's Patrick. I'm up here in Penrose. I have no comment, no traffic tonight, Dave. Thank you for calling the net, sir.
JW, please check in. Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November, KC4EZN, and Harry and Cameron. I will be negative negative tonight, Dave. Thanks.
JW, 4, Foxtrot Hotel Juliet. Gene and Taylor's negative and negative, over.
Okay, for a minute there, sounded like somebody else was trying to check in. Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4HXB. That's Earl in Traveler's Rest. Good to have you this night, Earl. Hope you're doing well. And our Sunday night Net Control operator, KO4HKX. That's Patrick in Penrose, North Carolina. Be sure to stop by and check in with him tomorrow night. KC4EZN, that's Harry in Candler, North Carolina. Good to have you with us tonight, Harry. You're sounding good. And W4FHJ, that's Gene, and Gene is in Taylor's. You're sounding good, Gene. Do appreciate you being with us this evening. Do we have any other stations in the Echo Through Hotel group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge Tube Internet? Call W4DJW. All right, that's going to move us up to the India Through Lima group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an I through an L and would like to check into the Blue Ridge Tube Internet. Call W4DJW.
DJW. Hilo 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar, and I am James upon this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina, and it's where I'm going to be negative and negative, San 73s for each one of you.
DJW, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Juliet, Bravo, Quebec, this is Larry. Also, my wife Donna, Kilo, Charlie 4, Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Mark us in and out, please. Everyone have a good night. 73.
All right, Net Control, I'd like to recognize KK4JFO. That's James from Tuxedo, North Carolina. You sounding good, James. Do appreciate you being with us this evening. And from Greer, K4JVQ. That's Larry. Bring with him KC4MFK. That's Miss Donna. They make their home in Greer. Good to have you as night, Larry. Do tell Miss Donna we said hello, and we do appreciate you hanging out with us this evening on a Saturday night. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Any other stations in the India Through Lima group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
JW, please check in. Kilo Charlie 4, Juliet, Kilo Victor, KO4JKV. This is Duncan in Asheville. And I'll be short time tonight, 73 to you and everybody on the net.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize our Monday night Net Control operator, KO4JFK. And I have to retype it. JKV. I deleted it. I deleted your call, Duncan. I had to re-enter it real quick. Because I had a typo. Net Control, I'd like to recognize our Monday night Net Control operator, KO4JKV. That's Duncan in Asheville, North Carolina. You sounded good all the way from Asheville, Duncan. And do apologize for messing up your call, but you sounded good this evening. Hope you're having a fantastic weekend. Any other stations in the India Through Lima group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, that's going to bring us up to the Mike Through Papa group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with an M through a P. You would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW. Control, I'd like to recognize K4OIM. That's Walt in Edmond. Did you say Edmond or did you say Piedmont? I might need to update my database, Walt.
No, I'm in Edmond.
Okay, I don't know why I heard Piedmont. I do have Edmond in there, so I don't know. That's me, not you. Appreciate you being with us this evening. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend. Do we have any other stations in the Mike Through Papa group that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW. All right, that's going to bring us up to the Quebec Through Tango group. Stations with the first letter in their suffix that begins with Q through a T and would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call W4DJW.
4DJW. Hey,
Dave,
please check in. Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Lima Golf, KL4QLD. This is Chris and Liberty, and I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, Net Control, like to recognize KL4QLG. That's Chris and Liberty. You sounded good, Chris. Tom must be over there banging out CW on lower end of 40 meters. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Maybe he'll check in a little bit. And one last call, Quebec through Tango, if you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, that's going to bring us to the patient group for Saturday night, which hasn't had to be so patient because we're only 13 minutes into it this evening. Uniform through Zulu, if the first letter in your suffix begins with U through Z, and you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Well, it is kind of early on a Saturday night to be getting to the Uniform through Zulu group, so we'll go ahead now and open it up all the way through the alphabet. A through Z, Z through A, if you have got a letter in your call at all and you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Hello, Dave. Sorry, I just missed my group. Please check in W4ZPH. That's Whiskey Bravo 4, Zulu Papa Hotel. My name's David. I'm at my home in Taylor's, and I'll be negative and negative.
Okay, next, I'd like to recognize WB4ZPH. That's David and Taylor. You're sounding good tonight, David. Do appreciate you being with us this evening. Well, we got into the 30 group, so it's not going to be too bad if it's a really light net. All the way through the alphabet. Anybody like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4 Echo Delta Whiskey, Ed and Brevard. One comment, no traffic. I'm monitoring. Over.
Okay, Net Control, I'd like to recognize N4EDW, that's Ed, and he is in Brevard, and I do have you down for comments, so we'll be back to you in just a little bit. Ed, we do appreciate you being here. One last call, all the way through the alphabet. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4DJW. November, please check in N0TR, November 0 Tango Romeo. My name's Tom, I'm located in Greer. Thanks for calling the net, Dave. Good evening to you and all on the net, and I'll be negative negative, sir.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Doug.
This is KC4SKD, Larry. Also, KG4AHS, Rhonda. No traffic, and call on me for some rag chew, Dave. And I would also like to bring my brothers by telephone relay, N9TEC Randall in Asheville, and KF4GGF Charlie. He's in Goose Creek. And hope everybody's having a good evening. KC4SKD.
Okay, Nick, so I'd like to recognize N0TR. That's Tom, my neighbor over here in Greer. Tom, tell Bernice we said hello, and sorry to drag you away from that those CW paddles kicking and screaming, but we got you over here one way or another. Appreciate you being there. And tell Miss Bernice we said hello. KC4SKD, that's our Friday, every other Friday night, net control operator Larry. Bring with him KG4AHS, that's Miss Rhonda. And N9TEC, that's Randall. And KF4GGF, that's Charlie. And Larry and Rhonda are in Easley. Randall is in Asheville, and Charlie is in Goose Creek. Good to have you with us tonight, Larry. I do have you down for comments, so we will be back to you in just a little bit. Do appreciate you being here, and do tell Ms. Rhonda we said hello. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet, so let's check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, this is W4DJW now securing the formal portion of the net with our thanks for checking in. All stations wishing to secure may do so, and we'll now begin the RAG2 portion of the net with periodic stops for checks between RAG2s. And the first one up on the stump this evening is N4EDW, that is Ed. He's in Brevard. Ed, call W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Number 4, Echo Delta Whiskey. Tonight and a couple nights ago, I was able to talk to an expedition in Sierra Leone, and the frequency is 14.240. I say again, 14.240. I think they're still on. The call sign is figure 9er, Lima, figure 5, Alpha. He's just calling QRZ which sounds like he's given a call sign, but he only gives his call sign every once in a while, and he slurs QRZ, so when you hear something like QRR, you know that's what he's doing. And the other night, and I'm not sure about tonight, he was listening up 5, so he would be listening on 14.245. If you're calling him, that's where you want to call him, and then he'll respond on 240.
Well, Ed, that sounds like lots of fun. What kind of antenna and what direction do you have it in? Is it like a wire antenna, or is it a rotary, a Yagi on a rotary, or what kind of antenna is it so that people can get an idea if they need to point their Yagi in a certain direction?
I Delta Loop, and I would have to go on to QRZ to get a bearing. But if you go onto his website, I think he'll tell you stuff about it.
Okay, yeah, if you're using a Delta Loop, then is it set up north-south or east-west? Or is it like catty-corner to one of those?
About 360 out of it, because it's set up due east, but I get 360 out of it. I've got it at a slope, so I get the best of both orientations, horizontal and vertical. And I've gotten a lot of Europe. I've gotten a little bit of I talked to Japan on it one night, Alaska, Cape Town, and Chile. So I get pretty good service from it. Over.
Okay, sounds like you might have it... about 90 degrees. I had one that was the other way. I got Australia and Russia better than others. Japan was hard for me. Europe was easy. But I had mine, it was going northwest to southeast. So the broadside to that would head down to the southwest, which is where Australia is, or to the northeast, which is where Russia is. And by the way of Europe, right? So I could get Europe pretty easy. The hard stations for me were Japan. That was before the weather took down my Superloop. And then I had a mystery antenna that was 90 degrees to that caught the rest of them that the Superloop couldn't catch. But neither one of them are up now. The hurricane took down the last one, and I haven't been out there to put it back up yet. But good deal that you're able to get that station, and appreciate you sharing that with everybody. What else you got this evening, Ed?
I have an azimuthal map that shows direction from my location to anywhere in the world. If you go online and look up http://, I spell November Sierra 6 Tango.net. November Sierra 6 Tango.net. It's a free site that a station, November Sierra 6 Tango, gives. You put in your location, which you can find in a number of ways. If you've got a cell phone, you just hit the compass app, and that'll give you your location. So you put that in. It has to be in digital form, but there are some sites that do that. And if people are curious, I can dig those out. Map of the world with you at the center, and you can see what direction to point to talk to a location. For instance, if you're talking to Russia from my location, you'd think you'd be pointing it basically east, but you're not. You're really pointing it north-northeast to go to Russia. The same way for Europe. You're pointing it basically 30 to 40 degrees. People think of Europe as being east of here. It's actually north of here. And directly east, you're talking about going into Africa. And when I talked to Australia, I looked at the map and I was going over Texas. If you look at this thing, Australia is about 270 degrees. Over.
Well, that's one. I built my own QSL card generator, and what it would do is it fill out the front. It'd take a snapshot of my QSL card and it overlay their call sign and the time and date and, you know, signal strength and all that stuff on the front of the card. And then on the back of the card, it would print off a map. And it'd have a line drawn between my station and their station. And then the center of the line was the center of the map. So we were equal distance from center to my house and from center to his house. So he could see exactly where I was in orientation to him, and I could see exactly where he was in orientation to me. And it was printed out on the horizontal. That would be the equator, right? The line down the center would be the equator. So if you were both up above the equator, it'd be a horizontal line between the two of you. If one was below the equator, it'd be a diagonal line going down to either southwest or southeast, right, depending on where they are. And Russia, the same thing, but it would move the map, and it would, so that the center point between the line, it didn't make me the center, it made the center point of the line between the two of us the center. That way you could get as big a map as you could on the back of the QSL card. And then while we were talking, it was pulling all the information off of QRZ for him, and I already had all the information for me. And then it would build the graphics while we were talking, wrap it up in an email container, and email it to him. And he would often get the QSL card before the QSL before the QSO was finished. While we were talking, he'd get his QSL card.
Sites for that map, over.
It uses Google Maps. It's just Google Map has an API that you can call, and you can give it the upper right corner, lower left corner, and the zoom factor, and you know what all you want turned on and what you want turned off of Google Maps. You can make it just a plain map that doesn't have any information on it. You can put a scale on it. You can do whatever you want, whatever Google Maps will do. So yeah, it's Google Maps. But it was calling Google's API for maps to build that map. And then I had a graphics capture that, and it all did it in memory. There wasn't a browser or anything like that attached. It was all just in memory. So it was all running in the background. But then, as soon as you would click pull up his call sign, it would build the map and it would build the front of the card and it would wrap it in an envelope. And all you'd have to do is push the button that said send the email. And so, before you were, 15 seconds into the QSO, it was out of your outbox.
That. Look at this one. It gives a very different perspective of the world because it puts you in the center, and then it gives bearings to everywhere else, and it gives you a whole lot of different perspective. It's like looking at a globe. Over.
Yeah, you can do that with Google Earth. I don't know how much you've used Google Earth, but you can rotate the equator 360 degrees. So you can have the equator running top ceiling to floor, instead of wall to wall. So, you can do it with the tilt of the earth. You can do it. Yeah, there's a lot of tricks to doing that. You can also fly on Google Earth. So you could actually build a video that flew from your house to his house, and it flew over the trees, and it goes faster as it gets closer to the center and then slows down as it gets to his house, and have the whole thing take about 5 seconds to make the trip. I did that with Steve. He lives 1,000 miles from here, KB0KBJ. And I built one of those with Google Earth, and it actually flew. You could see the streets and houses go by as you were taking off, and then you could just see the states and the state lines that you were crossing to get there, and then you could see the houses and the trees reappear as you landed in his backyard. It's pretty cool.
There's always these neat things around that it's just, you hear about them on things like this because if you're reading about them, you'd probably miss it. Over.
Well, you got to get into it. You got to spend a lot of time with it, probably too much time. A lot of people would rather spend time on the radio than in the technology, but I'm the exact opposite. I do radio because of the technology. I don't do the technology to be able to do radio. If in my shack, you don't see many radios on the surface. I've got a keyboard, a couple of monitors, and a mouse. And then all the radios are built into the screen of the computer. They're software-defined radios. And the hardware, that's a lump in the wire between the screen and the antenna outside, those are hidden as much as possible. No shiny buttons, no bright knobs, no LEDs on the front, no maps with three-dimensional waterfalls, all that hidden. You wouldn't even know it's a ham radio operator shack other than it's got a microphone in it. And nowadays with people doing podcasting, a lot of people have microphones in their office.
It's a really neat setup. I used to have aquariums, and there's always a problem of all the wires and stuff hooked up to them. I always said if I had an aquarium, I would have it in a wall so I could walk behind it to do all the maintenance for them. Never have had room to do that, though. If you really want to try some new technology, try 3D printing. My wife gave me a 3D printer for Christmas last year.
Yeah, I heard Patrick on one of the nets said that that's what he got this for Christmas. I think he's already got, I think Christmas came early. But that's what he's got. He's playing with one of those. And I think the one that you mentioned last time was the one that he picked up because the name sounded familiar. So, yeah, I am going to have to try that one of these days. But you can only have so many toys in the airplane room. That's where I would put it. Is where I build airplanes, and it's got a radial, it's got a miter, a circular miter saw, a drill press, a grinder. It's got all kind of stuff like, and a three-axis CNC milling machine. After a while, Ed, you start running out of space to put new toys.
Well, they discovered one of the newer aspects of 3D printing. I'm going to have to get with Patrick. I didn't know he had one. I'm looking for people who have been working with them. It's like learning a whole new computer system. I can take a photograph of a person head-on, a portrait basically, and I can build a 3D bust from that one photograph. Over.
They have a show in Greenville. I don't know how far Greenville is, but it's once a year. It's a technology show. And there's a lot of people that do that. And I went by several of the booths. And they had the camera was it looked like a pistol with a really short barrel. And they'd scan you if you wanted them to. They could scan you and take a picture of you, and the model would come up as they were scanning you. They might have to go around two or three times. And then they could ship that over to a milling machine or a 3D printer, either one. You know, they could do the removal method or the additive method. You know, printing is adding, whereas CNC is removing. And cut a part out right there at the show. It was some pretty cool stuff.
I've seen the advertisements and stuff about the cameras where you walk around something and take pictures of a statue or whatever. This one is just one straight-on photograph, and I've been able to build several things from it just by taking a photograph with a cell phone. Some of the things in the resale shops that were kind of intriguing. So far, mostly toy-type stuff is what I call them, but a couple of things like gears for a sewing machine. But I've got to get with Patrick and see what his experiences are. Oh.
W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Give me just a second to see if there's any other stations that would like to check in. I'll be right back to you, Ed. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
W. Dave, Miss Amy in the net, please check in. KI4DOS, Gary. Also, K3JOY. That's my pretty little bride, Joy. We're at home and easily. No traffic, no queue tonight. Good evening to you, Mr. Dave, Miss Amy, and all on the net.
DW. Hello to you and Amy and everyone on the net. Please check in N4ZLK, November 4, Zulu, Lima, Kilo, Shane in Cleveland. No traffic, no table. Thanks for calling the net, David.
W. Everyone on the net, hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving weekend, sir. Hope you're staying warm and comfortable at home tonight, Dave. Appreciate you getting us together on Saturday night and calling the net. If you will, sir, please check in Alpha, Kilo 4, Hotel Romeo, AK4HR. Name is Mike. Location is at home in Simpsonville tonight, Dave. No traffic, no comments. 73 to you and everyone on the net.
Net control, please check in Kilo 4, KAE. Kilo 4, Kilo Alpha Echo. This is Alice from Taylor. Good evening to everyone on the net. I'll be negative and negative. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, that's a good group. Net Control, like to recognize our Wednesday night Net Control operator and all things SwapNet, KI4DOS, Gary, bring with him K3JOY. That's Miss Joy, and they are in Easley. And Gary, do tell Miss Joy that we said hello and hope those puppies are staying warm. It's cold out there. N4ZLK, that's Shane in Cleveland. Good to have you this night, Shane. And AK4HR, that's Mike in Simpsonville. And Mike, I did notice that I do a Raspberry Pi that measures the inside temperature, and it makes a graph of it. And when the heat kicks on, the temperature goes up, and then when the heat kicks off, the temperature comes down as time is going by. And that makes a sawtooth. And I notice here lately, there's a lot more teeth in the saw blade. It's coming on, and then the cold is bringing it down faster. So it comes back on, and the cold is bringing it down faster. So the graph has a lot sharper and a lot more teeth. They're not as tall, but they're pretty sharp, and there's a lot of teeth in the graph. So, yeah, it's getting cold outside. And K4AKE, that's Miss Alice in Taylor's. Good to have you with Miss Alice. Sorry about messing up your call there. K4KAE. Miss Allison Taylor, it's good to have you on here tonight, Miss Alice. It's been a while since you checked in with me. It looks like the last time you checked in was in April the 27th this year, from April to November. So we're going to have to get you, Gene's going to have to get you in here a little more often than that, Miss Alice. Anyway, it's always good to have you checking in with us on the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. One last call all the way through the alphabet. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, Ed, anything else for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net this evening? Well, I believe we've got Larry waiting in the queue. N4EDW, call W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
This might be of interest to everybody since we're all pushing the age bit. A couple years ago, the father of one of the church members died. And the woman had to go through all the business of being the executor. And she developed from that a program that I have copy of on both Word and Excel on end of life and the estate book. And if anybody's interested, I can send it to them online. It lets you fill out all kinds of information that you would like somebody to know as far as notifications and all kinds of stuff. So my email is in QRZ. If anybody's interested, send me an email, and I'll send it back to you.
Well, we do appreciate the offer there. Ed, does anybody need any fills on Ed's announcement? Okay, looks like everybody's good there. Ed, we do appreciate that and look forward to next time we ragged you. Let's see, next one up on the stump this evening is KC4SKD. That's Larry, and he is in Easley. Larry, call W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
W4DJW in the net. This is KC4SKD. I enjoyed the 3D printer topic. I know somebody's got one of those, and for those that's just got one or thinking about it, don't forget you have to have a uninterruptible power supply big enough to run it, because if it's printing something and the power just drops out for a couple seconds, you lose your print job.
Well, that is a good observation, Larry. you would hate to get, I know some of those things can take days to print, or they used to. I don't know if they're still that way, but they can take days to print, so you'd hate to get a day and a half, 2 days into it, and all of a sudden lose power. Then you'd have to go back, and it'd be kind of like trying to get a inkjet printer to print the second half of a photograph. Probably a low probability that you're going to get that right.
Yeah, I did find out from somebody about that. The power just drops for like a second. Yeah, it's gone, and that's an unfortunate thing to happen. I don't know, maybe they'll figure out a way to build them so that they are, you know, that won't happen to them. They can just keep on running or pick up where they left off. But something else came to mind when you were talking about 3D printers. I saw on the news, this has been several years ago, they've got them now that they build houses with them. They can print houses I don't know what they do about the roof, but it shows them printing the foundation and the walls and stuff.
I've seen that. They do it with concrete, and I've watched them really close. That head rotates as it goes around the corner. It doesn't just go to the end and then make a 90-degree turn. It goes to the end, and then it pivots. And the reason I recognize that stuff is that's the way in CNC machining, you can either square a corner or you can round a corner. Rounding it means you get to that corner, and then you rotate the tool around the corner, the center point, around the edge, the radius of the tool. So the center point of the tool follows an arc, and it keeps the edge of the tool right at that same point that is in the end. And then it makes an arc to go around that. That makes a radius on the outside of the wall. And then it goes down to the next point and does the same thing. So I noticed that that's pretty cool. They don't square it off. They don't just go to the end of a line and then start moving in the other direction. And I think that's because the way that they print it, the printer head is like, it's not a square, it's a rectangle. And if it was, it'd be like writing with a Sharpie pen. And you always want to keep the broadside perpendicular to the axis that you're traveling to get the most coverage. But that is pretty cool that you recognize that.
I thought that was neat, but man, what a ginormous printer to be able to print something like a house. And that sparked another thought. I did see this. This has been a couple of months ago, too. They build houses now that look like giant Lego blocks. And they showed them out setting that into place, and you got your structure and your insulation all built into the block. And of course, I don't know what they do about the roof, but they said that once you get the foundation poured, they can use the big old Lego blocks to build the house. It's not Lego brand. I don't know what brand it is, but that's what it kind of looks like.
I've noticed that too, and they're laminated. Like the inside is the styrofoam, and then there's holes on the inside for air so that it can breathe. And then on the outside, I don't know if they use some kind of wood laminate or if it's a plastic laminate or what it is, but they do look a lot like Legos, and they got little notches so that the top one aligns with the bottom one, and so that they're offset by half. And then they've got bricks that they can use for window openings and door openings, right, so that they end at the right spot, and then they pick up again on the other side of the window at the right spot. So then you can just slide the window in there like it's another Lego. That's pretty cool. And you see the people walking around with those bricks in their hand. They're a whole lot bigger than a cinder block, and they're walking around waving them through the air with one arm over their head. Like they don't weigh anything.
I didn't realize they were so lightweight. One of my wife's family members, he lives in Georgia, he built his houses. They're monolithic domes. And he showed his picture of them, the house and the garage. They're 50 feet high in the middle and solid concrete. And that is a fascinating thing to see there. He said that there's so many advantages of having that. He said the remnants of a hurricane came through one night, and they didn't realize that they just slept right through it. It was so quiet.
That sounds like the way that they build houses over in Europe, well, like in Spain a lot. And I think some down in Mexico, they do the same thing like that too. That is pretty cool. And I don't know how they do that that roof. I have seen several things. I think they build a structure, and you get the arc because they use arches and arcs and doorways and bridges over in Europe a lot. There's one engineer that I used to travel with on the weekends, and he'd like to come over and pick me up, and we'd go looking at bridges. And they built the arcs like that because you can compress and compress and compress and compress, and you can carry tons of weight with very little material by doing it that way. I guess that's why they build domes, because that's just taking that two-dimensional structure and making it three-dimensional. You still get the same strength out of it, and you don't have to have near the material in it to do that.
Interesting. Anyway, Yeah, good topic to talk about. And this morning, while it was so cold, we stayed in the house and did a bunch of work inside the house. I've got a Hammond organ that needed to be oiled. They have to be oiled once a year. So I pulled it out and took the back off of it and did that. And I've got a Korg synthesizer that needed a CMOS battery changed. So I did that, and we just, you know, hung around till it warmed up a little bit and got outside and started running errands. But anyway, good net going, Dave. I'll let you get back and see if we've got any more check-ins. So good talking to you. W4DJW, KC4SKD.
Okay, Larry. Well, we all have that maintenance stuff we got to get done. I got leaves up again today. Seems like every third day now I'm having to get leaves up, and it seems like there's more and more every time I get them up. It should be turning into less and less here pretty soon. Anyway, good talking to you. Appreciate you hanging around for the Rag Chew portion of the net this evening. Do we have any other stations all the way through the alphabet? Like check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW. Go ahead, Ed.
Problem with 3D is if power going out, there are short seconds or less when the power can do a bump. And I got a program that someone had, it does something to the what's being printed and kind of messes them up a little bit with the surface. But this thing stops that from happening, from interrupting the program. And I've never had a problem with that.
So is that something like you can unplug it while it's running and it'll continue to run?
A program that goes into the computer itself that stops what it apparently does automatically with the power interruptions, just short ones. But there is a setting on it where you can stop the printer for periods of time and then resume the action with it. Over.
Okay. Well, I did not know that. It seems like there might be some subtle... You know, it's hot when it's extruding that plastic out of that nozzle. And I guess it shrinks a little bit as it cools. Is that right?
A little bit. I've had to play with some of it. Like I said, it's like learning a whole new computer system because different filaments act differently. But I usually set mine at a temperature of about 215 or 220 centigrade. And that's what it extrudes at. And because it's soft for I don't know how long, part of the program builds in supports that you break off later on, but it supports overhangs like ears and things like that. Over.
Okay, so it tries to keep the shrinkage to a minimum. I guess it's if you shut it off and pick it back up, there might be a little bit of a step in there, but probably nothing you couldn't sand out with sandpaper.
Paper, this stuff is pretty hard once it does, and it comes out pretty smooth. If you go online and just look 3D printing, you'll find all kinds of articles, particularly on YouTube, about it. And there are some that how to start it. It's rather fascinating, the things that it'll make. I just took a picture of a friend straight, well, it was about three-quarters face, and built a short bust statue from that. Over.
Yeah, I've watched them build 3D RC airplanes, and they can put a lot of strength inside the wing, inside the core of the wing, and keep the wing really, really light. There's pockets in there that once that air is trapped in there, it's going to be in there for a while, right? That air's not coming out. It's not like, well, it's not like putting monocoat over balsa ribs. Right, where the air can travel back and forth between the different layers. It's like it's trapped inside those cavities. And I imagine that air is kind of hot when it's because, you know, 200 and something degrees centigrade is way up there in the Fahrenheit range. And then when it cools, that skin is really thin over the top of the airplane wing. So that's a hot pocket while it's cooking, and it's a cold pocket when it's cooked. And so that air changes, you know, the pressure inside that little those little tiny, hundreds and hundreds of little tiny cavities inside. It's like a honeycomb structure in there. I guess if they keep that structure those honeycomb as small as possible, the distortion will be minimum. I guess they got a lot of that stuff figured out because it's been out there and they've been working on that for a while. So they probably got algorithms that figure out how to minimize the distortion as it cools.
Of what you're calling the honeycombs, depending on what you want to do with it, it has all kinds of different structures to support the idea of it. And these are, you can set it to do a particular one. There is a CAD program, a free one called Tinkercad, T-I-N-K-E-R, CAD, that you can actually build these things with the CAD program and then translate it into program works to make the file that actually goes to the printer, which is real interesting. And with that CAD, you can design just about anything and then print it out. I've seen some of the models or files for airplanes, small ones, but people can build large ones depending on the size of the printer. My printer is 10 by 10 and 10 inches high, so that's the size of what I can build. So a lot of these things are several pieces that hook together.
Yeah, that's the same thing I saw, too. They could only build so much of the wing at a time, and the wings had to snap together as they went further out toward the wingtip. So I imagine that's a skill that you learn and you get better at it over time. There is a YouTube channel, RC Flight Test, and that guy does a lot of 3D printing of different parts. Some parts that run on the water, some that run in snow, some that run in the air. And he shows the different material that he uses for different parts, like the tracks on the thing that runs in the snow is a different material than the gears that actually turn the tracks. And he did a whole lot of experimenting with different PLAs, I guess they call that stuff. Some that is rubbery when it's done, and some of it's brittle and it's hard when it's done. So it's all kinds of differences. I imagine that turns into a skill once you get good at it.
I'm using the PLA, and I've forgotten exactly what it stands for. But there are filaments out of all kinds of other stuff, carbon fiber and stuff, depending on what you're going to do with the thing. I built radio control planes 50 years ago or more, actually, well, probably more than that, when all you had was a button that you had to click it so many times to make the rudder do what you wanted it to do, and you didn't have all the other elevators and stuff like that. All you had was a movable rudder. Over.
W4DJW in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Yeah, they called that an escapement instead of a servo. They got linear servos and rotary servos now, but before that, when it was really amateur radio operators that were making free-flight airplanes radio-controlled, right? It was the mixture between the airplane enthusiasts and the amateur radio operators that built the first escapement. And what you did is wound up a rubber band. That's your motor. That's your power, the rubber band. And it connected to an escapement, and that button push just let the rubber band unwind, which kicked the rudder one way. And then you press that button again and let that rubber band unwind, which kicked the rudder back to neutral. And you push that button again and it kicked the rudder the other way. So if you wanted to turn right and right came after left, you'd have to go left, neutral, right. And then if you wanted to go left, you'd have to go neutral, right. So you'd have to know the number of times to press the button to get the rudder to go the direction you wanted it to go. Those were the days. I remember those escapements. And before the escapements, you had fuses, right, that you put on the elevator. So you'd launch a free flight, and you'd start a fuse burning before you launched it. And when that fuse would get all the way down to the end, it would release a rubber band that would pop the elevator up and then make it start doing stalls until it came back down to the ground. Those were the days of the real radio control airplanes.
Korea, flew it one time. I hit the only tree in the middle of a rice paddy, and I didn't build it again after that. And then I saw one Korean who had a number of planes and was really good at it. And the rubber band holding his wing on broke when the plane was whatever, a couple hundred feet up. and it just nosedived in full power. The fuselage did straight into the ground. Kind of horrifying to watch, over.
Yeah, they call that planting balsa trees. I've planted a lot of balsa trees in my day. Let me check one more time, see if we've got anybody else that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call W4DJW. Sounds like we've got them all. Anything else, Ed?
To you. And if you might want to try, I'm not sure whether that other station is still on HF, but it's kind of interesting. If you hear him, there's no question about it because he's got a really nice signal. Over.
Well, we do appreciate you letting everybody know about that, and I enjoy our conversation about 3D printing and about flying airplanes, building and flying airplanes. Take care and look forward to doing it again the next time. One last call all the way through the alphabet. If you'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
For you, Dave,
KI4LZI. Go ahead, Andy.
Company that took over MFJ's situation. That's called Autotech Limited, OPEC. And it's made in Taiwan. How good a quality do they do? I'll put it that way.
Well, I haven't bought anything from them, Andy, in a long time, so I'm not qualified to answer that question. But I can tell you that I buy a lot of radio control equipment from there and from other places in China, Japan, Taiwan. And I think it depends. I think the answer is it depends. It depends on what you're buying. Because like with MFJ, when MFJ owned it, you could buy some really high-quality stuff, or you could buy some really cheap stuff that wasn't going to last 10 minutes, and you knew it, right? I think it just depends on what you're buying. When I can get a camera for using in the goggles when I'm flying a radio-controlled airplane, and I can get one for $5, or I can get one for $50. The one that I got for $5 is probably going to cost me a $50 airplane. In the end, the one I get for $50 is going to preserve my $50 airplane in the end. So I think it all boils down to you start off with them with small stuff, and you work your way up to, if you make it that far, you work your way up to the more expensive stuff. That's the way I would do it. If they just bought interest in what is already there and they're continuing to pay the same people to do the same thing, and they just got different management, then it might be pretty close to what it was before. But if they just take the plans and everything and ship them off and start making them themselves, it could turn out that they're better, right? Or it could turn out that it's a whole lot worse. But I'm not qualified to answer that question. I just say you start off buying small things, and if you like what you get, then you can continue on and buying big things until you get to the point to where you don't like what they're selling you anymore, and then you just quit on them.
Well, from what I read about it, I assume that, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know everything. I'm assuming, because it's in the HRO catalog, and it took the place, their stuff did, of MFJ. Products made in Taiwan. Copyright Autotech Limited, and it's OPEC, they say. They got mobile antennas, about everything the MFJ had. But I don't really want to bring politics into it, but if that place gets conquered by the mainland, that's going to go bye-bye.
Yeah, Andy, I don't think anybody really knows. I think everybody has hopes on which way that's going to go, but I think we're just going to have to wait and see on that. I don't think anybody knows which way that's going to go, because you got some experts pulling into this one direction, some experts pulling in the other direction, and we won't know till we know. But one thing you can do is if you know what it is right now, right? Before all of that, the tariffs and all that stuff kicks in, that's like I'm overdue on getting upgrade on a computer, on a desktop computer. So I went ahead and pulled the trigger now because I know what it is right now. I don't know what it's going to be 2 months from now. So I went ahead and pulled the trigger. Just so that might be something you want to consider, is you know something's going to change. It could change for the better. It could change for the worse. But it's you know what it is right now. So a bird in hand is worth two in the nest or something like that. Everybody's got to make their own decision on how they're going to do that, Andy.